Support for this podcast comes from Staffing Future. Nowadays, your recruitment website needs to do more than just validate your business. Websites are your digital front door, where new clients and great talent should come knocking. So do you want your recruitment website to stand out from the crowd, generate new business leads and placement revenue? If that's a yes, then talk to Staffing Future, the recruitment website and technology experts. Get a free website and technology stack review and competitor analysis today. Just visit staffingfuture.com/rules.
What great ideas are so close within your grasp? Seeing other points of view, anticipating change, considering multiple possible turnouts, acknowledging uncertainty, searching for compromise. We're going to talk about how to get over those limiters of innovation so that you can extract better thinking from yourself and your team. So let's talk about how to win the future.
This is the Marketing Rules Podcast. Do you know the new rules of marketing? Here is your host, James Whitelock.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Marketing Rules Podcast. If you're a recruitment agency owner, getting your consultants generating fees as soon as possible is absolutely critical. With this in mind, this week's guest is Greg McManus, CEO at GMA. Greg runs consultant training academies, and so we discuss what the future holds for consultant training in 2021 and beyond. Welcome back, everybody, to the Marketing Rules Podcast. And today I am joined by Greg McManus of GMA Associates. So first off, I've known Greg for quite a few years, and I've wanted to get him on the podcast for a while now. A little bit different to the kind of usual kind of marketing people that we would have on, that Greg actually knows what he's talking about when it comes to recruitment and running recruitment businesses. So Greg, for those who haven't met you, aren't aware of you, and not sure exactly what you do, why don't you kind of give us a quick introduction to you and to GMA Associates?
Cool. Thanks, James. Yeah, over 30 years in the recruitment sector with the grey hairs to prove it, James, as you know, we worked a bit together. GMA are just, it's a consultancy focused purely at SME recruitment businesses, working with owners to develop their businesses within 1 to 3 year plans. So really executive coaching and training programs, et cetera, just to achieve quarterly objectives.
And anyone listening will realize that that's not an Anglo-Saxon accent.
No, Brisbane boy. Been here a while, though. Got the passport.
But you've got a pretty interesting background as well. So you didn't kind of start off, obviously, in recruitment. I know you've kind of, there's been a bit of a journey to get into the recruitment industry.
Yeah, no, it's actually having got the degree in Oz sort of came across. It was intended as a two-year excursion, as normal sort of Aussies stuff do, and ended up working for a travel company running tours across Europe and then different parts of the world. And then when I decided to get a proper job, I was going to head back to Oz, but by way of London, got lured into joining Hays. So it was a good decision.
Tell us a little bit about your kind of your background within recruitment, because again, that's pretty interesting and not the kind of necessarily the usual route. I know you've kind of worked with some pretty big names and at quite a senior level.
Yeah, I've been particularly with sort of starting with Hays. I opened, it was only a sort of 2 year stint, but I turned around a couple of offices that were due to close, and I opened a couple of offices for them and then was headhunted as part of that small management team that started what is now Page Personnel. So 14 years at Page was a really a good, successful, it was a good time, and achieved some good successes, opening divisions and a number of offices before the headhunt to turn around Huntress in preparation for the MBO. So that was a very successful stint there, and then used some of those funds to buy some recruitment brands and turn those around for sale. So 10 years now, the consultancy, working with recruitment businesses for them to do the same.
So tell us a bit about the kind of things that GMA does, you know, with regards to like kind of board level training and consultant training.
Yeah. I mean, I think the key aspect, it is always focused on what the owners of the businesses, what they're looking for. So what are their objectives? And then they're not always the same. Certainly the idea of realistically for an exit strategy or grow business with revenues and income, but there's different routes to that. So really focusing on what those objectives are, looking out 1 year to 3 year plans, and actually then breaking that down into quarterly objectives. So there's operational milestones that needed to be achieved. And that's when the exec coaching, the bespoke training, whether it be at senior billers or team training or even academies, to be honest, that's bespoke to the business. And it really is about achieving those specific targeted milestones.
And so tell us a little bit about if we kind of start kind of lower down and work our way back up about the kind of some more about the specifics around training, because I know that's one of the kind of the main features of GMA. So let's start at the kind of the coalface with the salespeople and the recruiters. How does that, I mean, give us an example of how that training kind of, how you roll it out, the advantages of it, and what you kind of, what you would hope, you know, recruiter to be at the end of it.
Yeah. I mean, certainly it's all about ownership from, you know, the individual. Certainly starts at that board level. So they absolutely own and know those objectives and what we've talked about, how to achieve that with those milestones. But really from an individual consultant's point of view, they've got to own that training, which means they've got to see the benefit to them. That objective has got to have benefit to them, career, financially, etc. So they, because then that they take on board what those objectives are. So it's addressing reservations and reasons why they don't think those things are possible. It's not how they worked before, and then applying sort of specific techniques to them. It's sort of a mixture of inductive and deductive training, which means a sort of element of classroom, but also actually on the floor, on the phones with clients or candidates, etc., trialing out those techniques in their own way. So they're clear on the objectives they need to achieve. And then the idea of the techniques is them applying those in their own, is their own style. And that can be at a, on a team basis or sort of one-to-one coaching program.
And what's your feeling about, I mean, can you take someone who's outside of recruitment and bring them in, bring them up to being a kind of, bring them up to being a recruiter, or do you prefer to work with kind of existing consultants and make them better? I mean, how is it?
From a return on investment, it's quicker for more experienced billers because the rate of return is more rapid with regards to their skill set, and it's incremental changes. A quite significant difference, particularly over sort of that first 13 weeks, the first quarter, but then the run rate from there. But it's certainly a passion of mine is training, and therefore the academy, recruitment academies, where personally in my businesses I had a great deal of success with sort of rapid accelerated organic growth, and in my clients the same sort of thing. So, you know, it's fantastic to see sort of talent and individuals, and at that early stage, give them the right sort of start that really they become top billers within the business. But that is it's a slower burn.
And being a slightly marketing focused podcast, you mentioned that you get them on to picking up the phone. Where does these kind of other newer technologies, the likes of kind of LinkedIn or how to kind of generate leads without having to pick up the phone, what does that kind of play in within training?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the idea is from an academy point of view, it has actually broken down into the three cycles of recruitment. So your candidates, clients, and jobs. So you start the process with the candidate cycle, and so effectively, what you're looking to give them all of those skills where they are engaging with candidates by way of, you know, referrals of other good candidates, lead generation, but also product knowledge development, etc. And therefore, the idea of not necessarily needing sort of job boards or LinkedIn to be sourcing sort of candidates, And those are skills which they take with them and develop. So the same situation with experienced recruiters. You know, they actually sometimes have either not really done that very successfully. They've heard of it. They know it, that it's meant to be done. But it's only when they actually get sort of specific training that sort of, you know, is solution focused for and personalized for them, that actually they get the workarounds and they see those successes, so they'll do more of it. So you're right that, you know, the marketing aspect is really from a candidate initially, information gathering, but it's the same situation with those techniques that they then go on and apply with the clients.
How has COVID and lockdown and the ability not really to kind of get into seeing face-to-face business, how has that kind of changed what you do?
Yeah, I mean, several years ago, I did a stint with a global role. So I spent a bit of time on GoToMeetings as was the fad then. And those were more one-to-one sort of training sessions. So yeah, this year is learning new tricks by even sort of delivering a recruitment academy to a couple of clients online, completely online, which actually had some reservations about, particularly when it came to actually sort of the application, that sort of the inductive aspect of there's no floor walking available. So it does sort of, you know, the idea of me sending them out onto the floor, into the trenches, so to speak, or out of the trenches, and then doing a review within a structured sort of way, which actually was far more successful than I thought. So yeah, it's never as enjoyable, if you like, it's never as engaging, but the results have been pretty impressive. So here in the study.
So you've had to kind of change that kind of that aspect of it, and how was that? Does that change the training that you have to kind of deliver, because you know that you're not going to be able to kind of sit on someone's shoulder and listen to their kind of phone call? Has that changed your kind of how you roll it out?
It's a good point. I mean, I think it's probably because it's quite interactive, even in that sort of, you know, the session, the classroom sort of session aspect of it. You know, there is quite a deal of engagement and therefore ownership. So really for them to flag up what their reservations are is does prepare for the floor session quite sort of well. So it's probably a little more pre-prep as used to be, by way of sort of for each individual defining what their sort of the objectives for them individually, but also as a team. But yeah, you're right. It's probably that is a sort of a key difference, is really that preparation for the session. And then the workshop afterwards is quite similar, but I do need them to give me more detail. They need to be a bit more investigative with sort of those discussions, because I wasn't there and involved.
And so let's move kind of further up the kind of hierarchy within the business, because you said one of the other things you do is the kind of board level kind of training and board level kind of coaching. What is it you do around that?
I think in particular there, when recruitment business owners are looking to grow their business, or, you know, particularly it might be a new market, it might actually be sort of the classic of looking at their mixture of their net fee income, and they're predominantly permanent with little sort of temp or contract. So there are aspects of the board's skill set and experience won't cover all those sort of areas that they're looking sort of to develop. So first and foremost, it's looking at an analysis of where the business is by way of talent, you know, et cetera, both from their experience, their knowledge, what they've got in sort of in internally, and primarily to identify the strengths, because this is really about promoting and developing strengths rather than sort of reducing weaknesses too much. Because, you know, to be honest, you can resolve all weaknesses and still be no further forward in a good amount of time. So really it's then sort of milestoning those objectives of where they want to get to, and therefore, you know, putting those plans in place. The training is in part for the teams, but actually from a an operational strategic point of view, working with the owners as far as what their direction of the business, and actually then filtering that down through to the management, because that the management team are the one who's going to be delivering it long term.
And how has delivery of that changed during COVID? Is that easier to do now with, I mean, I would imagine that getting kind of, you know, senior management teams onto and training them and coaching them on Zoom or whatever else is actually, I can see there being a little bit of resistance to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's when it's physical insight, when you're on site, rather, you know, the idea is, okay, they've allocated still in their diary, but there is a temptation if it's a Zoom, you know, or Teams meeting, then it could be that they're drawn off with sort of issues or whatever else. But I think the good thing is having those agendas prior to meetings, and actually it's a follow-on from the previous sort of session, that we've got those key objectives to discuss. You know, what are the issues in the application? So I think, you know, the benefit is just, in fact, it's less disruptive on video at that level than it is from the training. So it's more of that. Even when there's, you know, several directors that are involved, it's I found those sort of less different, if you like, than the team training session.
So it's obvious you've kind of got a huge amount of experience within the industry. So it'd be great to kind of just chat about how you try and grow your business in the kind of current market. You know, what do you need to do? What should you be kind of proactively concentrating on? What shouldn't you be concentrating on? Where are the quick wins, if there are any, and what you should be doing to kind of plan for your, you know, for 2021. So it would be good to just kind of get an overview of what you think around that.
Yeah, I mean, particularly in the first instance, it's retaining talent. You know, that sort of aspect of it's difficult. I mean, the government schemes have been quite beneficial with those sort of aspects, but then the reality is obviously dependent upon the sector, what sort of activity there is, it's still been sort of difficult for some business, and therefore the idea of prioritizing. But as we're coming out of this, the retaining that sort of talent, because there's as you would know, there's a lot of activity in the marketplace with regards to sort of headhunting and consultants being sort of top of the agenda as to input in sort of new talent into the business. So attraction and retention, those are probably the first key from a structure point of view. Then definitely with regards to starting with the candidates as well, because there's an influx of candidates across most of the sectors. And it then becomes extremely important to make sure that your consultants know what good looks like. So therefore, to really focus on that top 25%.
So what does good look like in this market at the minute? How do you know?
Well, I think, you know, it's a good question, because it's not necessarily sort of straightforward. It's certainly with regards to the candidate sort of experience by way of their structured career progression, etc. It's, you know, elements of where, you know, people are moving around sort of too much. It's, you know, all of those things our clients are a little concerned about, even from those that have been contracted contractors are now looking to step across into the perm market with IR35 and other sort of, you know, aspects. But it's the idea of where their skills, for them to be able to prioritize their three or four key skill sets that are appropriate for the role. They're realistic about their expectations for remuneration, but they actually communicate well, and they come across all of those things where you've got that top 25% of candidate. If you focus and only are proactive on those candidates. Now, to be honest, in the latest, it's with the uncertainty in the market now, with the possible second lockdown, those candidates that are already in roles are being a little wary about sort of moves. So it may be focusing on those that are actively looking in the marketplace that are the top 25% of those, because you're not going to have, as several of my clients have in the last 2 weeks, I've had actually candidates turning offers down because they're uncertain about sort of the market with all of these sort of changes. So yeah. Got a candidate. So it's a really good question, James. And it's one of those where it does take focus and concentration to be able to, for each consultant to have that, building their basis of those top high caliber candidates, because then it's actually agreeing a plan of action with them of which clients you're going to take them to. And there's an element then, there's a verbal contract, but emailing that sort of list. So you've agreed a campaign that you as a consultant are going to proactively take. So you're then going to the market. Now, it is not a time for hard sell, you know, to clients, but certainly by way of, if you are working on behalf of a very good candidate that's relevant for that client, or certainly was pre-COVID, then it's a great way to start a conversation and then be finding out from the client, you know, how things are for them personally, you know, their team, their business.
Well, that kind of brings me on to the next point. It's kind of like within your cycle, what's the growth strategies in when we're looking at clients?
Yeah, I mean, those certainly is where there's existing relationships. Those are the first priorities, is because those are hard earned, and those are the ones that you. Even if the client at the moment is, you know, they see no recruitment, there's no business for you, but engaging and keeping sustaining that relationship, you know, how they feel, what they see, what's their opinion on the market, and also, to be honest, giving them advice on, you know, how you're actually finding the market. So that's really deepens those relationships. Then, of course, what you're looking to do is those clients where you haven't used you, their prospects, etc., is most definitely by refining how you engage with them. And again, we're back to that sort of top 25% of candidate. So you're taking them quality, but also you are providing them with market knowledge, because, you know, you're talking to candidates, but you're also talking to their competitors, etc. So it's about that sort of engagement that's very focused on those priority clients within your portfolio. And then, of course, the next step is new markets. Because if you then look at taking your product knowledge, you know, and your candidate skills, etc., and what are aligned markets that are, you know, very, very similar in part. And of course, the great thing about recruitment is it's important to be niche. But it's that idea of if your niche is not working at the moment, then look as close to that as possible. And that's the idea of sort of therefore growing, whether it doesn't need to be new markets, but certainly new clients and aligned markets.
Because also kind of niche can go vertical and horizontal, isn't it? You know, in this market. So it could be targeting similar industries, or it can be similar job types within different industries, isn't it? You know,
so. Exactly right. The matrix effect, and so it does center around the product knowledge, that core sort of those core skills, product knowledge that your consultants actually have, which makes it sort of almost logical, but quite a lot easier to step across, and therefore allocating a percentage of time within the week. So, you know, those quarterly business plans are really now even more important than before. So breaking it down into those sort of weekly sort of action plans and objectives, and therefore how much time is going to be spent, you know, in which sort of area, candidates, clients, but also different markets.
So assuming, and then this is a very big assumption, that we are going to kind of bobble along at a similar kind of position that we are for the next 6 months to a year, what would you be kind of advising first moving into kind of Q4 and then into the rest of 2021?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly looking across sort of both permanent and contract, it is that idea of of really a portfolio of business. So, you know, the idea of not just focusing on that sort of area, and in particular, you know, IR35, it will and has presented opportunities for disruption. And that's for those businesses that have got a strong contract to temp base within the business. They definitely need to be quite sort of focused and actually engaging first off with the candidates about sort of, you know, that clear analysis of whether they're in or whether they're out, but also in discussions with clients. So what we talked about with that growth aspect, you know, I definitely see that is particularly important, and looking at, you know, the innovation and the idea of actually looking at different and not the norm sort of recruitment solutions for clients, and having those discussions with candidates, whether it be the number of hours that, you know, they're working, obviously where they work, you know, they're working from home or whatever sort of delivery, but providing innovative solutions because clients may not be able to make a commitment for a whole candidate, whether that's a contract or whether that's a perm. So looking at sort of solutions on that sort of basis and having those firstly with the candidates, their flexibility, then with the clients, if that makes sense, across all sort of, you know, perm, temporary or contract.
And that's, and you see that kind of something that's worth kind of focusing on now and into 2021. Obviously, we haven't even touched on potential Brexit effect, if any, really.
Yeah, I think it's that sort of aspect of the discussions with a client is about how they see it, but it is totally focused on their pain points. You know, where would an addition of any talent in any form be necessary potentially for them, or certainly beneficial, and that therefore they would be willing to commit budget, you know, too. So therefore taking on headcount, it's having that sort of discussion with the client and sort of, because that's what we do as recruitment consultants, we solve problems. So, you know, it's that taking that sort of problem and then going, okay, I might have a candidate who might be able to resolve that for you. And it's, you know, this is not a, you know, 37 hours a week or, you know, permanent salary type solution, Mr. Candidate, but, you know, to be honest, where someone is keen to get back into the market, then it could be a solution that's a game changer for, you know, for them. So I think that's the key, is just, you know, our three steps of selling, you know, identify the need and get the, you know, the prospect to prioritize that. And then for us as recruiters, step two is to match solutions to those priorities. And then obviously step three, the close, is a definitive action to a timescale. So if we focus on those in discussions with a client and look to solve their problems, I think, you know, that's where the success will come.
Do you know what, mate? That has been absolutely kind of fascinating. What I will do is if anybody wants to get a hold of you, all your details will be in the show notes. But you can also just search for Greg McManus on LinkedIn, and I'm sure Greg will accept everybody's kind of incoming connections. So thanks again, Greg. It's been absolutely amazing having you on. Some absolute kind of nuggets for businesses possibly struggling at a minute, and I'm sure it's going to prove useful.
Well, I hope it's been helpful and some good questions, James. So well done. Good to speak to you.
Cheers.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Marketing Rules Podcast from Thinking Circles. Available on all major podcasting platforms, including Apple and Spotify. Just search the Marketing Rules Podcast or visit www.themarketingrules.com. To work with James or Thinking Circles, visit www.thinkincircles.com.
The Marketing Rules Podcast is a Thinking Circles production.